Police. Now we'll call this meeting to order. I'll have roll call for the fire police side. We have Frank Ovada.
Here.
And we have Gretchen Flicker is on.
She's not going to be able to participate as a trustee, but she's online as a member of the public. There was a, I made a mistake about getting her added to the agenda.
Okay.
So she's listening in.
All right. We have our staff here. We have John Flynn. Now I'll turn over to Debbie.
Okay. I am Debbie Abbott, the chair of the Governance Committee for the Federated team. And I now do a roll call. And Nathan?
Here.
And I am here.
Great. What we have is that orders of the day, none. We have sunshine, there's none. And we'll proceed with the agenda. And the first item for the police and fire is the current calendar approval of minutes of the Governance Committee meeting of December 4th, 2025. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
It's a motion by Frank Ovado, a second by Chair Santos. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That one carries. Debbie?
All right. And that will be the same for Federated. Do I have a proposal to approve the consent calendar?
Motion to approve.
And I second Chair Abbott. Okay. Oh, and I should say, Trustee Nakagawa made the motion and Chair Abbott approved. Okay.
So you can
see that carries?
Approved.
Yeah. So the consent calendar is approved.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll now go into new business discussion action on revised updates on the board operation policy. So
if you'll allow me just a few comments. So for both the operations policy and the trustee travel policy, we plan to have it on the January agendas. Because of the timing of this meeting, we're going to need to wave sunshine in order to be able to consider them on the January agendas. But hopefully, if we can come to consensus here, we'll be able to have them on the agendas for full board approvals. Because I know we have some travel coming up, and we it would be great if we could do that all under the new policy. So,
yes.
So let's talk about board operations policy. Julie, do you want to discuss some of the changes that were made?
Sure, I'm happy to. Happy New Year, everyone. We took your feedback from the last Joint Governance Committee meeting and really focuses on a couple areas. First, we removed the proposed committee term limits, and instead we added to the chair considerations when making committee assignments. So those considerations now include each board member's expertise and experience, their individual interests, succession planning, and the need to ensure all board members are exposed to the full range of the board's responsibilities. We also made edits regarding the excused, unexcused absences process. So the defined reasons for excused absences, we added reasonableness to the good cause excuse, and also clarified if a board member anticipates a board meeting absence, the board member should notify the chair and secretary, and the secretary records that as an excused or unexcused and notifies the chair and the member. If that absence is noted as unexcused, the board member, and if the board member would like that absence to be considered for reasonable good cause, they can submit a request form to the board chair and secretary no later than 10 days after that absence, and the item will go on the next available consent agenda. There's also language talking about if there are two unexcused absences, and we know that three could trigger the automatic removal provision. So if we're in the situation where a board member has two unexcused absences, the secretary will let that member know that an additional unexcused absence could trigger that automatic removal. If there is a third absence, the member can ask for the board to review whether a reasonable good cause exists as soon as practical. So those were the major updates from last month's meeting, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Can you just remind me, I'm sure we covered it last month, who with the definition or whose position is secretary? Is that the CEO?
Yes.
Yes, and you know, I think what we tried to, what I heard from the boards, from the committee last time was, you didn't want to be taken off guard when something like this happened. So we put a lot of proactive communication in with the with people when they're requesting absences, and then also some proactive notifications if they're triggering some of these what I consider to be nuclear events, like an automatic resignation. And so, the admin staff will be working more closely with me to help notify each of the board members as they go through this absence process. And then also the other thing that we're going to be, we've resurrected is that quarterly at the audit committee, we're going to be reviewing trustee attendance as well as trustee travel as part of one standard report that used to be done, and we're going to bring that back. So, you know, the hopes to keep communication clear, and then also when an absence is required, as it as for normal business of our volunteer trustees, we make it easy so that they can submit a form rather than having to write, you know, a complete narrative. And our admin staff will support you at that.
So one of the questions I have is I know people plan sometimes vacations, which happen to interfere with this. And the last time we talked at that, it seemed like that would be an unexcused absence.
Yes.
Is that still the case with this policy?
So
It
that
feels odd to say someone that's notified you in advance and they just have a conflict and it's a personal conflict that's unexcused.
Under the municipal code, it's unexcused. And so the policy is really just echoing the terms of the municipal code. But the municipal code very clearly outlines what a excused absence would be, but vacation would not be one of them. So
I think the hang up is in the unexcused wording.
Yes.
Basically, what they're saying is that you can miss two meetings.
Yeah.
So if you have more than two vacations conflicting with the meetings, then you probably need to rework your vacations a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's, I think the term unexcused that makes it sound bad.
Right.
It feels
But
like this feels like
it's
you're
been,
skipping school.
yeah. And I think that's what the optic is, but the reality is you can miss two meetings.
Correct.
So what we got here is that we'll see if any more questions or comments before we take any action on the police and fire. Any more questions?
Nope.
Go over to
So,
Chair
I
Abbott.
need you to turn your mic on. I apologize.
Yeah.
So we're approving this to take to the full board.
Yeah, so this would be approval to recommend to the full board for approval.
I move that we approve this as we have for the full board.
So there's a motion by Franco and Votto to approve 2A parentheses 1. And that's an updated version of the operation bond, second by Santos. All in favor?
Oh, sorry, 2A5, that's the police and fire version.
2A5?
Sorry, 2A4, 2A4.
2A4.
That's
Yeah.
the
Okay.
police, yeah.
So this is 2A4. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That carries. Thank you, Chair Abbott.
All right. And is there any more comment from the Federated side?
I do have a few.
Okay.
Hopefully these are not game changing. For paragraph two, I just noticed you know, we reference the titles of the chair and the board chair as board chair and board vice chair, but the at the end of that paragraph it says their respective charters titled board chair charter and vice chair charter. It doesn't say board vice chair charter. Is that something we can update just for
Sure.
consistency purposes?
As long as you're willing to approve it, I think we can make that in the version that we bring to the full boards.
And what's your proposal? Is that we take out the vice chair
Oh no, we just add the word board
board
to the vice,
to the board
the
to the
title of the
vice
vice
chair
chair
charter?
charter, just for consistency, since
Yeah.
vice chair is called board vice chair throughout the document. So would I have to propose something to
When you go to make your amendment to approve 2A, the version of 2A1, just say as amended, and we can list the amendments that you'd like to make.
Okay.
Okay.
Would I have to list the amendment, or I would list the amendments, or you would just
Depending on how many they are, you can
understood.
say as requested, and I will read them out at the end.
Okay. That was number one. Number two, again, a small one. Paragraph nine. In the second line, it says, you know, standing board committee. I believe, again, throughout the document, the board. The B in the board is capitalized, so
okay.
Very minor one there. Again, just for consistency. And also in paragraph 9, it says the board chair shall not recommend him or herself as chair of any such committee. Do we need any language in there in situations where, like, I'm just thinking of Deborah and myself, like, if one of us were not to be here, there's only literally one person left in that circumstance. And if that were to happen, there's no out then, right? Because.
So as an example, today, if you or Debbie weren't here,
right,
we would not be able to hold the federated governance meeting because we don't have quorum.
Right. Oh, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Got it. Okay. I'm good with that one.
Okay.
And then paragraph 12, the one where it says ad hoc committee is formed. It is not subject to the Ralph M. Brown Act, et cetera, et cetera. Do we need any language in there that says, the way I kind of read it is that once the ad hoc committee is formed, as soon as it's formed, it's no longer subject, but do we need any, like, does it need to continue to meet the requirement stated in paragraph 11 to continue to be not subject to the Ralph M. Brown Act? If that makes sense. The exception was granted at the time of formation, but, let's say the ad hoc committee, I guess where I'm going is, if it starts to deviate into becoming like a standing committee-ish type of situation, like say a 6 months or
right,
whatever.
Right. So what Matek would say is when we form ad hoc committees, that's one of the reasons why it's very important that we state its purpose, we state its composition, and we state its duration.
Right.
Right. Because it's ad hoc and it does follow these, doesn't need to follow the some of the rules of a standing committee. We need to do those three things. And so, in some of the cases where we're doing procurements, right, the procurements took 6 months, took 9 months in potentially.
Yeah.
So we did have an ad hoc committee that was in place for that time.
Yeah.
But we and the formation, we said that this committee will stand until a contract was executed, right? And so that's why it's really important to have that. What's the end date for that?
Okay.
Because we don't want ad hoc committees to be in place of regular business, right? So, as an example, I think Federated, not that long ago in history, established the disability committee, but it required 2/3 of the board, a committee charter, right? So, the formulation of that as a new committee is a bigger governance process. So does that answer your question?
That does. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think your concerns were sort of addressed in paragraph 11, I think.
Right. It gives kind of a criteria,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So it's at formation, you have to pass those hurdles, basically.
Yeah. So it sounds like to expand on what you're saying, if our standing committees have one of our standing committees has two members and you can only have one person on an ad hoc committee. So that's what I'm going to ask.
Well, so that's it. I mean, that is an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to go back and ask Matek. So by charter, the governance committee should be three members.
So we could have two people on an ad hoc.
Right. Now, and the quorum definition is also in the charter, and it says you have to have two members in order to have a quorum. So I would argue that if this committee wanted to establish an ad hoc committee, you could really only have it to be one member regardless.
But usually we do ad hoc committees at a higher level.
Well, you can have, so what this is really saying and is that the board could establish an ad hoc committee
right,
and not violate its quorum,
right?
Right, which would be different from Federated and Fire because the number
right,
of members are different. This or the committee could establish an ad hoc committee. And it can't exceed its quorum requirement. So depending on which body establishes the ad hoc committee determines the maximum number of people that could be on it.
Well, I don't think one person would even be considered an ad hoc. It would be considered a representative. It's the only person making a decision.
We have had ad hoc committees for one person when we were doing procurements for governance, when we procured our contract with Aon. And for audit, when we procured our contract with Baker Tilly, we had ad hocs to, just have board representatives working with staff so that we could more efficiently work through the procurement process.
I know.
The name is pretty.
And you know what Maytac, this was a Maytac addition to the policy, and really she said it's good to formalize it because yeah. we since I've been here, we've used ad hoc committees a bit, mostly around procurements.
Yeah.
All right. That was my final one.
Okay, so just to clarify, I have two updates to 2A1. Paragraph 2, add the word board to make it board vice chair. And paragraph 9, to make the lowercase b and uppercase b and board so that it's consistent with the rest of the document.
Yes, that's it.
Those are really good edits.
It's after the third time reading it, actually.
Well, it is fresh eyes.
Yeah,
it's fresh eyes. I have to admit, I read it once. I read the red lines, and it was a little hard sometimes reading the red lines, but I wanted to see what it changed.
Yeah. So if we'll get a motion for the approval of 2A with those changes.
Do we have a motion?
Yes, I move to approve the board operations policy 2A with the amendments.
Okay.
Shall I speak?
This is no, it's 2A4.
2A1 is better.
2A1.
Oh,
and
correction.
The question is whether for police and fire, whether they want to make the same changes, but that's different. All right. And so Trustee Nakagawa has made the motion that we approve 2A1 with the changes that he outlined, and I will second it as Trustee Abbott.
Great. All right. So under two.
Oh, and then I'm supposed to say, I think it. I need a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Vote carries.
Okay,
aye.
Sorry about that. Thank you. for the trustee educational travel policy, at your last board meeting, you approved the version that was put in front of you.
Yes.
As part of our MOU with the city, I reviewed the travel policy both with the city manager's office as well as the finance department. They came back with what I would consider to be minor edits. And the only meaningful edit that changed some of the terms was to we specifically stated in the policy that you approved last time that Wi-Fi was reimbursable. City manager's office recommended that we align with city policy that says in connection with board business. That was really everything else is a minor update.
So now you're asking us to take action on B?
Correct.
Okay.
So B and the clean version is 2B3.
Shabato, any questions, comments?
Nope. Motion to approve.
The second by Santos. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. And again, I probably failed to say good morning to Gretchen, so I want to say good morning.
Good morning.
No, Chair Abbott, up to you now.
All right. And do we have any discussion for the federated side on the trustee travel policy?
Yes, I only have two comments, actually. And again, it's the fresh eyes comments, I guess. Paragraph 18, the pre-approved conferences and meetings. Correct me if I'm wrong, there's no language that addresses how that list changes. So basically, once we approve, that list is set till the next time we review this policy then?
Or at, yes. So basically, it's codified in policy. But if there were a new conference that a bunch of trustees started to attend and anybody, the chair of the governance committee could always request that we take an update to a policy, or the chair at a board meeting could also make that same request and refer it back to governance. So you as trustees own the policies, and with a majority of the board agreeing, we can take action to amend that list if you chose.
Oh, okay. That works for me. And the only other one I noticed in paragraph 20, the travel to program final pre-approval, I think it says in the third line, it says, et cetera, by the pre-approved conference and meeting list above in paragraph 15, I think it should be paragraph 18, actually, which is, I believe that's just a typo.
Yeah. So that's number paragraph 20. Reference to para 15 should be
18. And that those were all my comments.
Great.
Okay, and is the approved travel policy something that we need to vote on separately? And
yes.
Would both sides want to make that same adjustment to make the correction?
I'll ask Trustee Santos after.
Okay, because we didn't go back to the other corrections for the other one that we looked at.
We can.
Okay. All right. Do we have a proposal, or do we have a recommendation on the approved trustee educational travel policy?
Yes, I move to approve the updated trustee educational travel policy 2B3 as amended.
Yeah. So that's Trustee Nakagawa, and then I will second Trustee Abbott. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, and the motion carries.
Trustee
so
Santos,
the proposed changes that were discussed, does Trustee Mato have any comments?
Nope.
I'm fine with it.
You make a motion to support those changes?
I don't think we need a motion. I just amended them.
John just said we.
Either way, as long as you're okay with me bringing them to the full board as amended.
Yep.
Okay. Fine with me. Thank you.
Great. Proposed agenda items. If you'll just allow me under this agenda item, I want to let you know that we're planning at the next governance committee meeting to bring forth a governance review plan of action. It's like a 2-year plan to review all governance documents, including the creation of a few additional. Amanda worked very hard over the holidays to pull that together. We're reviewing it internally. We're scheduling some time with Aon. And the hope is at our next meeting, we'll be able to bring that forth and start to discuss how that lays out over the next, it really will end up being over 2 years.
It's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is good time to get off government.
You know, committee assignments are next week. I'll leave that up to you guys.
Any other proposed items that you'd like? Sure.
I just had a question, and I know that we had an update last time about what was happening with the strategic planning policy and the surveys and so on. And I was just wondering if it's appropriate for us to have a quick update on where we are, the status of that.
I'll just make a 2-minute general comment.
Yeah.
The last step was we were sending out surveys to stakeholders. Our response from stakeholders were a little slower than we would have liked. It was the holidays.
Yes.
So we I think we extended it twice. Julie, I believe we're now closed, right?
We'll be here next week.
Correct. So, you know, the numbers weren't as high as I was hoping, but the feedback is still good. And so my staff right now is compiling the summary reports of the surveys. So we issued 3, one for each board and then a combined one. So we'll be bringing those results to the boards in February.
Nice. All right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And our
any
next
public comment?
Our next meeting will be the 21st, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The next board meeting for police and fire is the 21st. Where I expect that both of these policies will be on there, and the next next board meeting for the federated is 22. Is the 22nd,
which
and
is nice.
by which we will all we'll have both of these policies as well.
Yeah,
I'm sure you have any other comments?
No other comments for me.
With that, we'll adjourn.
We'll adjourn. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.